All right. Welcome to PA in the Making, the podcast where we explore the journey of becoming a physician assistant. Whether you're navigating PA school, preparing for the pants, or aiming to thrive in your clinical career, this show is your companion every step of the way. I'm Sarah Kraus, and my companion here is Bianca Placucci. Bianca, do you want to
Hello.
say
Hi.
hi? All right. Well, so this is our second episode, which is very exciting. It's only taken about a year to get working on the second episode. So we're going to take some time. We're going to kind of reintroduce ourselves, but not to the extent we did in our first episode. And then we're going to just dive right in. So what are we talking about today, Bianca?
So we're going to focus on the first semester of PA school. We'll give a brief reintroduction of who we are. We'll talk about our memories as when for when we were PA students, and then we'll flip it to our perspective as instructors. A lot of times people, when they're starting PA school, they have no idea where to start. They're completely lost. They're even before PA school starts, they're like, I want to prep. I want to, what can I read? What can I do? And so this is kind of the guide of what to do. And then we'll go from there.
All right. So I'll kind of reintroduce myself first. If you had just listened to episode one, I apologize, but we just want to make sure you guys really know who we are. There will be a quiz later. And so my name is Sarah. I'm a physician assistant, which is very convenient for this podcast. And I work in the emergency room when I work clinically, so I love it. I love every second of it. Actually, that's not true, but I do miss it when I don't do it. So that must mean I like it.
Or that
I'm
you're
sure
a
you know
masochist.
what that. Yeah, or the masochist. And then I've been working in education for I think 6 years, and then just I run the first year of our program with you, so. We run it together. And I think, one of my favorite things about education, because it's not an easy job, even though it's a lot more flexible than working clinically, is seeing our students, like learning from what our students bring to us. We do these assignments where students come up with plans, and every year I learn something new, even though our cases are similar and, they're writing the same assignments. I love that I can learn something new with a new cohort every year.
So
So
true.
that's me.
And I'm
How
Bianca.
about you?
I'm also a physician assistant. Ironic enough. I work in the emergency room as well. Prior to the emergency room, I used to work in surgery, which I have a love-hate relationship with. I miss it dearly, but then I also like my life without being on call so much. Prior to being a PA, I was a high school educator. I taught biology for 5 years. And then prior to that, I was at Florida State and I used to teach bio for non-majors. So I feel like education just keeps pulling me back. I agree with you, Zara. What you were saying about our students, every year I feel like we learn something new, not only medically, and medicine is constantly changing. So that helps for us to keep kind of stay on top of it. But I feel like the emotional maturity, I don't know, there are some students that just really exhibit it. And I feel like I, as a student, didn't exhibit that level of emotional maturity at times, which it's nice to see on the other end. I'm excited to go through this podcast and kind of give you guys insight on the life of a PA student and also why PA faculty, why we do what we do. So yeah,
All
let's get
right.
started.
Yeah. Well, so it's funny you say that you didn't have that emotional maturity. I'm pretty sure that I would be a student where faculty members kind of try and go to the bathroom really quick when they see them coming down the hallway or something.
Hide from you.
When I was in PA school, I'm like, I thought I was holding everyone to account, but I think I was just being a nuisance.
No. No. And also, we do not hide from our students.
Yeah, no, we don't. We don't. We face every problem head on.
We do.
All right. Okay. All right. Do you want to go into your memories of kind of starting PA school?
Definitely. So I briefly told you that I was a high school educator prior to PA school. So I was the oldest person in my class. I remember just being so far removed from being in school myself, other than having to retake some of the prereqs because some schools, as I was applying on CASPA, some schools had a, I'll put this in quotes, an expiration date to your courses where they had to have been taken within the last 10 or 7 years, depending on the program you were applying to. So I wasn't a full-time student anymore. I was in my profession and I was taking those classes after school. So I was very intimidated about the thought of going. I've never been to grad school. So going to grad school, being so many years removed from being a full-time student, honestly, not making money. I was kind of used to making money now, even though it wasn't much, because again, high school educator. My first month, 2 months, I don't even know. Honestly, the whole time I was applying to PA school, I was just so scared about being older and joining a cohort where I knew everyone was going to be intelligent because of how difficult PA school is to get into, if I was ready for the course load, et cetera. So I just felt out of practice, if you will. So I would say that the overall theme of my life as I was preparing to go into PA school was just overwhelmed about the uncertainty. And I didn't have, I mean, I have a lot of PA school friends, or PA friends, I should say. They went to school right after undergrad. So even when I would consult with them, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. Their advice of, and you know, way to kind of calm me down, like, oh, you'll be fine. You did great undergrad, you'll be fine. I just felt like I didn't believe them.
It's funny to hear you say that because you are the most adaptable and like ambitious person. And so,
Oh, thank you.
like you could go into any situation and thrive. So,
Oh.
but I mean, and that's where a lot of our students are, I think, though, when they start is like that's what imposter syndrome is, I guess, right? Like,
Right. I saw this thing about
yeah.
imposter syndrome on Instagram. So I've deleted my Instagram just because I was on it too much, but I still quote it quite a lot. There was this thing on Instagram that this lady was saying, imposter syndrome is a great thing to have because it means you're in a new position in life. So if you're not having imposter syndrome, you're pretty stagnant. So I think when you're going through PA school and your applications, et cetera, if you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here, it's quite the opposite. You're entering a new phase in your life. So just to keep that in the back of your
Yes.
mind.
And just the fact that you have the self-awareness that, this is new and you've got stuff to learn still.
Definitely. What were your thoughts of what before going into PA school and entering PA school?
Yeah, I mean, I like it's funny that I thought I was older. I took a year off. No, I think I took 2 years off. So I was 24. I'm like, oh, I'm so old. For me, it when I figured out that I wanted to be a it, so I had been on a like basic science track. I lived in Germany for like 10 months right after school, and then I applied to grad school and deferred, so I started grad school right after doing like benchtop medicine research, and I thought I wanted to be this person who went to conferences and presented posters all the time, and that is not who I am. And so when I figured out that medicine was what I wanted, it felt so good to know that. It felt like I finally had a pair of jeans that fit, or like I was wearing shoes that were too small, and then all of a sudden my shoes fit.
I like that.
So I was just like 100% like without a doubt excited, but I get really nervous socially. Like I don't function well in big groups. And I remember that was my biggest concern. Like I kind of hid behind the academics, like the work of the first semester, because the first semester of PA school, no matter who you are, or what program you're in, is intense. And I remember just like leaning into that, like becoming a bookworm like I never was in college, and like just every weekend I was at the library all day, and it was kind of an attempt to, I think, avoid like socializing. It also just brought me a lot of comfort because for so long, I felt like I was kind of lying to myself, thinking that like it was more noble to go into basic research than medicine. And so I just like I look on that time really fondly because it really felt like I had finally figured out like my true calling. So that's what a lot of like I actually have really fond memories of the first semester of PA school, because I was just like soaking in the sauce of like, oh, this is like this feels so good to learn. So
It's interesting to hear that you don't like social settings, because I do feel like you are social, and I mean our courses, our cohorts are 40 plus students. So you do great at public speaking. So what was that something that you had to overcome, or how did you go from being this like shy bookworm to now look at us being on a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's if I had like it's the kind of thing where if I had a list of topics to talk about and I carried it on a note card with me, I would be fine no matter where I went.
Okay.
And so like, you know, I was taking the kids to ice cream and with like classmates on Friday, and it was like I was so tired and I pretended like I had a lot of work to do on my because I like to have something to talk about. And so that's why like class makes perfect sense because I can organize it in my head and talk to the students and like and then I can play like I have such an easy time talking to you because you ask questions and like you prompt and then I can ask you and we can just bounce back and forth. But like small talk, it just gives me so much anxiety.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I ran for a class president. And I got up in front of everybody and I'm like, hello, I'd like to be your president. I did not win.
Like, no, thank you. Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Learning more about you. That's interesting.
Yeah. But you're so social. Like, I mean, you can make friends with a caterpillar. Not a caterpillar, not a caterpillar. You don't like bugs.
Don't like bugs. Don't like bugs at all. I'm from Brazil originally, so in Latin America we're almost kind of forced to be social. At least that's my
Yeah.
experience. I remember as a kid, even being I'm the firstborn, so when we entered a party, if it's a party of 100 people, you had to go to every single one of them, greet them, kiss them on the cheek. And since I was the eldest, I had to be the first one, and my little sisters would follow me.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know what it's like to not be social or have the option, because I just feel like it was like, oh, you do it whether you're uncomfortable or not. But that's just my experience. And I think that just
Okay.
became
All
embedded into my personality, I guess.
right. Well, it's good. I mean, it serves you well. You're like, you're a
Just
great
kissing everyone
instructor.
on the cheek.
Yeah. You've never kissed me on the cheek, so
No, I haven't. No. We talked about our memories kind of leading up to PA school, and you talked about your experience running for class president. What were your best memories of the first semester? Other than being a bookworm.
Yeah, I mean, so I think even though I said I was like a bookworm, you can't help but create a community because like I'm sure you experience I think this must be a universal PA student experience. Like just all of a sudden the pace, the content, like the weight of the material you're learning is like you're like, oh crap, it feels like boot camp. We used to call it trauma block because you're just like totally like inundated and you don't have time to process. So like no matter how introverted you are, you still find your people. And I developed like we were so I went to a remote campus, but we did all of our first semester at the main campus. And we got to stay in dorms. like
Whoa.
the schools set us up in dorm rooms, and I loved it. Like I had my own room, and then I got access to all the university like facilities for free. It was so cool.
Wow.
And we were only there for 12 weeks maybe, but so my roommates and I all became extremely close, and we're still in touch, and that like just undergrad is undergrad. Like you go, you meet people. I'm still best friends with my undergraduate roommate. Like you meet people, and I met my husband there. But PA school is you guys have all decided that this is your mission. Like this is your vision, your identity. This is your driving force. And hopefully your school does a good job at making sure everybody feels that way about being a PA.
Right.
And so like you just the c community that you build is so different. You immediately have more things in common. You immediately like have similar perspectives on how you value other humans and like how you value health, and it just builds this kind of understanding, and it makes your relationships with people feel, I don't know if more mature, or it's just a different level of friendship. And like we would always go get milkshakes after exams, and there was
A lot
one
of milkshakes.
exam. Yeah. Oh, we got a lot of milkshakes.
Are a lot of exams, so it's a lot of milkshakes.
There was one exam that was so hard. We were just sitting in the booth drinking our milkshake silently. Like couldn't talk.
No.
So I don't know, though. I loved the learning, but that is those memory. I think about that often. It's like, oh, remember that day when we went to get the milkshakes and nobody could talk because they were so like tired. And yeah, what about you?
Well, I think very similar to you. When you said trauma, I keep thinking about the trauma bonding. How I feel like that's why, I mean, no matter which PA school you go to, there's just, it's a lot, right? And there's a lot of expectation on yourself. Even, I mean, everyone wants to be there and wants to put their might into their learning. But there is a little bit of a, you don't have control so much over your schedule. You are adults, but you still have to go through this professional school. So there is a little bit of trauma that comes through, I guess, in PA school. But I feel like your classmates become your siblings in a way. We would kind of bicker with each other, just like, oh, you didn't get this done, or you slept this many hours. We're like, how? It was kind of a playful bickering. I don't know how to describe it, but it feels like the same relationship I have with my sisters. So I will say that as the semesters were going, so first exam, second exam, and things started kind of rolling through, my best memory is kind of proving to myself that I can do it. So a lot of times, and we see this with students too, within our program, we have advisees. And we kind of touch base with them at least once a semester, in the first semester more so. And before the exams, people are always anxious. They're like, I don't know how I'm going to do it because they haven't seen an exam. Then they get the first exam and there's a weight off of your shoulders. And I think it is because we're all just trying to prove to ourselves that we belong here. So that even though the exam itself was not a great memory, it's the proof that objectively, I can do this. I can, learn and do well. So, I'm going to say that my best memory is an exam.
Ew, yeah.
Ew. And the people. I mean, I think, it becomes a family. So.
Well, I mean, and like again, that's that shared experience, and I remember that sense of like loss of control, because I worked, so I was taking classes like you did. I had some classes like expire, like you said, and then but I had to work too during that time. So, I was nannying, I had like a patient care job. I worked at this cancer care center, And then I was taking classes. And so I was like all over. And I remember thinking, why did these people think they could dictate my schedule?
Right. Yeah, because you're an adult, right?
Right.
It's different than undergrad. Well, even undergrad, you got to pick your own schedule. If you didn't want 8 a.m. class, you could choose the later physics course, you know? You
Right.
don't get that luxury in PA school.
Yeah. And I mean, you get used to it because it's also that's also like work, right? Like
Right.
I'm working until 1 a.m. tonight. I mean, I did pick that shift, but like that was it. That was the only shift I could pick up this month. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's just, I mean, there's good and bad, right? And there's no question that the good outweighs the bad. And I think your point about the exam, like succeeding, because that's why you're there. You want to be a healer. You want to serve people, and completing exams and proving to yourself that you can is like, that's huge. That's the good. That is the definition of good. Do you want to start talking about our perspectives as instructors?
Yeah.
Let's start with prep. What do you feel about students like prepping before they get to school?
So I don't think that any student should go out, buy an anatomy book before PA school starts and try to learn it before getting to PA school. However, I do think that students need to figure out what is their best learning modality. More likely than not, your PA program is going to have a lot of lectures. And so auditory learning is going to be important, but that might not be your best way of learning. You don't have a lot of time as a PA student, right? You have a lot of courses and lectures that you have to attend. And then you have your free time, and that varies depending on the program you're at, that you're responsible for kind of drinking up this information. So making the best of your free time. So how do you do that? One, figure out what kind of learner you are. Do you do better watching videos? And there are many videos out there. I mean, there are resources upon resources upon resources. You can find one that are free. There are ones that you have to pay. But what I would do, so I wish that I did this before I started PA school, and I think that would have calmed my mind a little bit. I would give myself, let's say your program's starting with anatomy, the muscles and the nerves of the arm. So choose a body system. I'm going to use the upper extremity, and I would tell myself to just memorize and learn as much as I can. So the muscles, their insertion, the innervation, and their function. Great. Of the right upper extremity or just upper extremities. Then I would
Yeah,
time up.
they're generally symmetric, just
They
like FYI.
usually whatever you have on one side, you have on the other. Section of like the cardiovascular system. But if you're, I would time myself learning that material. I would try to figure out which resource I used most. So is it Quizlet? Am I doing little Quizlet cards? Is it Anki cards? You can go on Reddit and find, PA student threads where you can kind of just look through the resources, or ask if you already got into a program, ask the faculty and the staff there what are the resources that the students use. And then I would honestly time myself. How long did it take me to memorize and learn? Anatomy is pretty much memorization. The upper extremity, so the muscles, the nerves, and their function. If it took me 2 weeks, that's unrealistic. Whatever I'm doing is not working. I think efficiency is the name of the game here, and you need to really just time manage yourself. So that's what I would do. Just think of one system, whatever it is, and just learn it. But learn it to the point where if you were asked, okay, so what does this muscle do? Where does insert? Where's the origin? How does it work? What's its function? If you can answer all those questions, beautiful. You're where you need to be. I think that that takes more time to figure out. So if you really are, okay, I really need to prep for PA school, do not go out and buy all the books and start reading. You're just going to be, it's going to go, through your eyes, out your ears, wherever it's going to go. It's not going to stick. But figure out
Out
what's,
your nose.
yeah, out your nose. Figure out the best way that you learn. Also, it'd be important, again, if you got into a PA school already, to ask what resources are already given to you, because most programs have some resource, whether it's Access Medicine, maybe they have Rosh review questions, maybe they have online med ed. sketchy med, whatever it is. So figure out if it's if that already exists. Maybe you can get a sample of that. Usually they give a free week trial and see, and kind of get used to those resources, see if they work for you or not. And then time manage. So get comfortable with a calendar. Even if you're the kind of person that's never used a calendar before, you're going to need one in PA school. You're going to need to schedule your showers, your workouts, your coffee with friends, your sleep time. Sometimes even people put on their calendar. You need to incorporate time management, but also making sure that you're having that school life balance. So I'll let you take it away, Sarah, because I know you're passionate about that as well.
Well, so something that's very funny, like, okay, so we're very similar in our spiritual, our spirits, our hearts are
Our
very similar, but
souls.
our souls, but our practical brains, I think, are really different, because the thought of, like you said, learning the right upper extremity, it gives me so much anxiety. Like, I can picture, I would be so anxious because I wouldn't know kind of the tone of the class. And I have to make a decision after I have like a setting. And so what I did, and what I tend to do, is I like to come into something with a fair amount of introspection, maybe, or I guess I like to pretend that I do that. So, like, I think, okay, I am going to be focused. Like, like I said, in undergrad, I winged it a lot. Like, I did a lot of, like, walking into exams after 2 hours of studying a lot, which I don't recommend, no matter who you are. But I said to myself, okay, listen, this is who you're going to be. Like, you are going to be the student. Like, this is, you worked really hard to get here. This is what you want to do for your life. This matters a lot. So this is the kind of student you're going to be. And so I had like a vision, but I didn't have that roadmap yet. And I mean, that's how I function, is like with my kids. When I got pregnant, I'm like, all right, let's see how this goes. So, like, because it only gave me anxiety to read about, like, oh, you should be doing this. This is the best. Like, I'm just like, all right, let's see what this kid needs, and then we'll adapt to it. And I know not everyone is like that, and it makes it hard sometimes for me to work like in groups, because I need to like see it before I like to be more reactive. I'm proactive about my like mindset, but I'm more reactive about kind of how I want to approach problems. What the brachial plexus, if we're going to stay with upper extremity, right? Like, the brachial plexus is like whatever 15 different nerves that interconnect and then rebraid and then redistribute throughout the upper extremity. Okay, that's like 45 things you have to memorize. You don't also want to have to remember to get toilet paper on the way home.
That's
So,
true.
like that is what, like, you want to, you're essentially preparing for an invasion or in a less
COVID
militarized,
feels like you're prepping for time.
yeah. Like, you're
Don't hoard
preparing to
the toilet
host.
paper. I think
Hang on.
I love that you said that because it's the small stuff that's, I mean, and by small stuff, I mean food, water, shelter. That you're going to need to get through PA school. So, pretty essential. Getting those squared away is key. I mean, if you're moving within semesters, we've seen students do that too, where, and sometimes it happens, maybe they've moved into an apartment and it ended up being too loud, or maybe there was a flood. Things happen. But just ha as much as you can, prepping that beforehand, having a lease that's going to get through your didactic stay, or that, you know, if you are moving, it's at least between semesters, so you're not doing it at the same time that you're studying. Toilet paper, like you said, food, knowing where the closest grocery. A lot of people move for PA school and they aren't familiar with the area. Simple things like that. Yeah, parking, where you're gonna park. Those are, I'm glad that you brought that up because I feel like it just ends up happening, and sometimes it happens to people. But if you're prepared before coming in, that would that would take away a lot of that stress.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, if you're somebody who needs to have all of the calendar filled out as much as you can and everything printed, like, be that person. Like, just, you know, do your studying like Bianca likes to do, like, prepare. I think that it is really useful if it works for you. I think that's a great idea.
For me, it was more that I was so anxious. I truly felt that my age and being removed from school for so long were going to be a hindrance during PA school. So I do wish that I had something to kind of study and be like, okay, I could do it. But every time I asked anybody, like, what should I do before PA school? They all told me to go on vacation and sleep as much as you can because you're not going to sleep during PA school. Like, they all said, like, chill. And I'm like, I can't. I have to know that I can do this because ultimately, I mean, you're uprooting your life, right? I was quitting my job. I was moving to a different state, going to a place that I've never been before. I just felt like, oh my God, I'm making this big move. And then I'm also I like to just hold on to money as if it's going to disappear tomorrow. And I was just like, I'm going to put so much money into this move and going to the school. It's costing me, tens of thousands of dollars per semester. Am I ready for this? So even though everyone told me to chill out, I couldn't. And
Yeah.
I think that at least it would have been a way to kind of prove to myself versus waiting for that first exam. But yeah, it all depends, I guess, on your anxiety level and how you learn and how confident you are moving into this new stage of life.
I kind of, for the most part, I kind of thrive on the unknown. Like, I like the adventure. And so it actually gives me more anxiety to feel like I might be preparing in the wrong way. And so,
Gotcha.
yeah, I mean, but
That makes
that's
sense.
why our hearts are the same.
Thought it was our soul spirits.
Oh, our souls. Yeah. Our beings.
Our beings. One thing, whatever worked for you in undergrad may or may not work for you in PA school. So that first semester, there's going to be a lot of adjustment. So just expect that. I will say that what worked for me in undergrad did work for me in PA school, and that was that I hand wrote all my notes. So just something to keep in mind that if something's worked for you before, try it. If it doesn't work for you, don't feel like, oh my God, well, this worked for me before in undergrad. I have to continue this way of learning. No, this is a whole different beast. You have faculty and staff around you. You have classmates. So if you're finding yourself that you're taking too long in one topic, ask your classmates, how are you doing this? Ask your faculty, ask the instructor, ask your advisor. Hopefully your program has an assigned advisor. But learning styles play a role here. And don't be surprised that if your learning styles kind of change from topic to topic. So the way that you learn anatomy is very different than how you're going to learn internal medicine, right? It's application versus memorization. And I flip those. What about you, Sarah? Anything else that we didn't mention?
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing is that, like, there's an emotional component to this. Like you said, everybody kind of like teases each other of, oh, you got sleep last night? Oh, I didn't sleep at all. And because you're with the same group of people, so, you know, programs range from like 20 students to my program had like around 100. So, like, but it doesn't matter. You're still with the same people every day, and you end up kind of comparing, and that can really kind of interfere with how you're focused, and you can get really distracted essentially by that competition. And so I think it's just really helpful to keep that in mind, that there's a lot more passion and people's identities are wrapped up in their success. Like you said, like, for you, doing well on an exam wasn't just doing well on an exam. It was really kind of helping you become more confident in your sense of self with PA school. So, you know, you have to keep that in mind, that this isn't Gen Chem where you just want to get an A because you secretly hate Gen Chem, even. And you just want to move, like, you want to move on through the class. Like, people feel emotionally attached to their performance, and for better or for worse, you know, there's definitely good parts and there's definitely negative parts to that. But keep that in mind. So people are going to want to compare. People are going to want to be the best at it. And if you can work to set that component aside, you'll have a much better time. You'll have a better time, like academically, genuinely, you will be able to put more energy into your studies and less energy into worrying about other people. And then if you have people in your cohort who are really feeling competitive and maybe frustrating you, you can keep that perspective in mind. It's like, well, all of us feel like this is our identity. It's natural that people are going to feel very competitive and emotional about their performance.
Definitely. I think that's something that comes up a lot when students first start, when we have our first advisee meetings, and they're in a room with very intelligent people, and they're like, oh, what we talked about before, the imposter syndrome. My feedback is always, and I see this clinically too. Yes, someone might be, they might just get things faster than you. Some people, all they need to do is hear a sentence, and that's it. They learned it. That is their brain. Good for them. That's not me. but there are people that are going to bring out more of the intellect, if you will. That's what they bring to the table. And they're sponges. They absorb all this information and they can apply it. And there are people that bring out the emotions and maybe life experience. Then that's what they're bringing to the table. Ultimately, I say this a lot. We all have phones. We all have laptops. We're not working, in a place where you have textbooks, even if you were out in rural areas. Let's say that there were no phones or laptops. I don't know if that actually exists, but you can
If you
look
were living in the
at this.
80s.
If you were living in the 80s, you had a time machine where you go back far enough in time that the PAs didn't even exist. But no matter what, you have access to medicine, you have access to resources. So I don't think that the purpose of PA school or being a PA is to be a walking encyclopedia. You have to have that emotional intelligence, that insight, that sometimes you get these spidey senses where you go into a room and you're like, something doesn't feel right. The patient's just telling you that, maybe they have a sore throat, but then it's something just feels off. Some people bring that already with them, and it might be from life experience, lived experience. But ultimately, you're not going to remember all of the medicine you're taught. That's impossible. But you need to figure out, can you have a strong enough foundation, and do you know where to go to when you don't have the answer, right? And sometimes that means going to a textbook, going to up to date, going to an app, whatever it is, going to a colleague, going to an attending. But you need to know when you've reached your limit.
Yes, that's my favorite thing to talk about is knowing when you don't know. And I love so the other my other favorite thing to talk about, which I think we should do a whole episode on this, is that spidey sense that you're talking about. I have a lecture that I've done like off and on throughout the years of helping students understand what they actually do bring. So like you said, in all these transitions, so imposter syndrome is associated with transitions. You may be the newest person in the room, but you still add value.
Oh, yeah.
You may be the person who needs to hear it 15 times to understand it, but you still add value. And that value comes from your like the mind model that you have from living your life. And I think it's a huge opportunity for students to gain confidence when they realize it's not about who gets it first. Every single person in the room contributes to the well-being of patients, the patients we're serving. And it's not about did you get that multiple choice question right? It's about are you present and are you able to bring forth that strength that you have just by being you? I mean, I think that's exactly what you're saying, and it's still hard for me, but it's so hard. I have to remind myself every shift, almost every day at work. It's like I don't have to be exactly like this person to be of value, and that's kind of where you are. You're constantly comparing yourself to these people, and you just got to recognize what works for you and understand that it's going to help you bring value to the patient experience.
Exactly.
All right. Well, what do you think? You think we're ready to close things up?
I think so. I think we can dive deeper in a future episode, but I hope that this at least gives students kind of an idea of what to expect going into PA school, the emotions that go through it, and also the preparation. And I think what we got out of this is that everyone prepares a little differently. It really depends on kind of what you need to prove to yourself to be successful. But that there are the bread, the butter, the basic things, the essentials that you need to get squared away before going to PA school. So I hope this was informative to people listening.
Here's the bottom line. Quit dance class. Get toilet paper. Figure out where your grocery store
Yes.
and memorize the brachial plexus.
Yes. Immediately.
Right. Well, that's it. That's another episode of PA in the Making. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, till next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bumblebee.